Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown, out on the edge of the prairie. It's been hot out there this last week. It's been humid, too, so that you wake up in the morning and there's a mist out over the meadows, beautiful mist and the sun shining through it, which if you had a camera, you could take a picture of it and they might print it on one of those inspirational calendars with inspirational sayings from famous writers, except we're from Minnesota and we're not an easily inspired people because we have winter there, which is a heavy dose of realism. So we're missing some of that top octave of human feeling. We have a kind of a narrow emotional range, some between acceptance and resignation. Those are the two kind of poles of what we have. It's been humid, and we have a full moon coming in tonight, and that's always a powerful thing. Powerful thing, especially for men. We look at it up in the sky. As stoical as we may be, and we're brought up to be, nonetheless, the full moon in the month of June fills us with restless longings, especially those of us who are tall and get more of the moon's rays than the rest of them. Powerful lunar pull. And if you don't like that, then you have to stay indoors and pull your shades at night and just stay out of that moonlight, because it will affect you deeply no matter who you are, but especially if you are a middle child, as I am. Middle children are the restless ones, the untrustworthy ones. They're the problem children. The oldest child is God's gift. That's the sacred child. That's the divine, there was a star over that child's cradle. And that child grows up to be responsible and to be the good soldier and to be sort of the assistant parent. And then there's the middle child, and that's the one who they really use all of their parenting skills on. And they work hard, and the harder they work, the less good it does. And then there are the younger children. The parents have given up on discipline by that point. And the youngest children get everything they could possibly want, and they turn out very well. They're terrific people, and everybody loves them. They're beloved. That's the story of the American family. It's the middle child that you have to watch out for. That's the one who's gonna run away and find something else. Osama bin Laden was the 17th of 55 children. It's those middle 25 you got to watch out for. Those are problems. See, I know this because I grew up in the middle of the country, though we didn't think of it the middle exactly. We thought of it as being central. Central. Middle implies mediocrity. That's not what middleness is about at all. It's about centrality. It's about being basic. You see, I was not a below average student. I was a basic student. I was a centrally located student. The exceptional students were the fringe students. See, I'm a central American author. You see, it's other people climbed up my back in order to become great authors. I'm just one of those people in the middle. But we're filled with longing to be something else because we were dominated and oppressed by the older child, and we looked upon the younger children with raw envy, and it's just not finished for us somehow. We're still looking for something that we wanted to get back when we were 12 and 13 and 14 years old. And so, what do we want? I'm not sure. We ride these pontoon boats around the Lake of Minnesota, and we want a sailboat. We want a sloop off the coast of Maine, and us standing at the tiller, and the salt spray lashing us in the face. Not much chance of that, but we go to the Lutheran Dude Ranch in the summer, the Lazy Zion Dude Ranch, where all of the horses are old and extremely cautious, and they always stay right in the path. Those horses never, ever leave the path. And we want We want those horses to leave the path. We want to ride galloping through the woods under low branches with a beautiful woman with long raven tresses sitting behind us riding bareback through the woods. We want to go out into the woods when we see the full moon tonight. We would not follow a path, but just walk through the brush, just follow the moonlight straight through, even though we know that the poison ivy is worse this year than it has ever been before. And it's hard to make out those little clusters of the three shiny green leaves in the moonlight and the shadows. And you brush against some of those, it's going to be a restless night for you tonight. But it's a restless night. Anyway, we just feel this longing on a day of a full moon, even in a quiet little town like Lake Wobegon. Gladys feels this every Saturday. 85 years old, she sits by her radio and she drinks a glass of sherry and she listens to the opera on the radio. And she feels this longing when she hears the soprano and the tenor singing their duet of Doomed Love. All the more passionate for the fact that it is so brief and so fragile. And she wants that love for herself, though she is 85, and even though she knows that the soprano will soon drink a glass of poisoned wine and the tenor will drink the rest of it and they will die in each other's arms. Nonetheless, doomed love is better than no love at all. So Gladys thinks on a Saturday, drinking a little sherry in Lake Wobegon, she gets all perspiring and weepy. She locks the door lest anyone should come in and find her there. It's a town where people are filled with longings. The Hansons wanted something beautiful on their farm after they gave up dairy cows. And so they planted that field that had been meadow and that they had had to mow. They planted it in flowers, in tiger lilies and lupins and daisies. And it was sort of an orange, white, and blue field of flowers. Beautiful thing. People slowed down as they drove past it. It was part of a new life for the Hansons. They gave up chickens and they were raising doves because there's a demand for doves. People want them now for weddings. They release doves during the ceremony after the vows are said and the blessing is made and the couple kiss. They release 40, 50, 100 doves into the air to signify something, freedom, I guess, or joy or longing or something. They're very popular, and you can get more for them than you can for leghorn chickens. So Mr. Hansen had fed them and he was leaving the old chicken coop and he forgot that doves, unlike chickens, can and will fly. And he left the door open. He walked halfway to the house and then he heard that great whoosh of wings as a great cloud, thousands of them, flew up into the sky, symbolic of a great financial loss up into the sky. Some of them flew just a little ways, and he tried to collect them out of the branches of trees, but it was a low rate of return for a lot of work. And he managed to get just a few for the Paulson's baby's baptism at Lake Wobegon Lutheran Church this last Wednesday. They wanted to have this outdoors, and they wanted to release doves when the child was baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost with the water and the oil and the salt. And Pastor Inquist was there under the tree between the parking lot and the church, and the doves were all ready. This is the Paulson's second child. This child will become a middle child. The pastor stood and read the prayers out of the book. It was a short service, and as he read them, he felt a daddy long legs drop from the branches of the tree down onto his collar. And because he's a pastor and is expected to be dignified, he didn't jump up and yell or anything. He just sort of brushed at it on top of his head, and he brushed it so that it went down his collar and it went down the back of his shirt. And he stood there restless as he blessed this soon-to-be middle child. And the doves were released and they flew up into the sky and the child looked up after them as if he wished he could fly away with them. A middle child. A middle child. We feel this longing that we can't explain this time of year. When the deer are moving through the woods, the fawns have their steady legs now, and the colts as well are running around. Raccoons, their bodies strewn on the highway. Dozens of raccoons curled up with a strange expression on their faces that seems to say, this was a mistake. They were longing for something on the other side. They don't know what that was, something, and now they will never, ever get it. And yet to try and to fail surely is better than never to know any longing whatsoever. Judy Inquist, the pastor's wife, felt this great longing for something elegant, for elegance in her life. She bought a bottle of Pinot Grigio for herself and her husband, a cheap bottle, but one with a cork, not a screw top, and she made a seafood salad. She collected all of these odd little bags of shrimp and scallops and halibut out of her freezer, and she put together this seafood salad. And as she sat at the table, her family on their second helping of seafood salad, she remembered the children's goldfish who had died in January. And the children wanted to save their bodies for a proper funeral in the spring, and so put them into a little plastic bag in the freezer. Little goldfish that perhaps looked a lot like shrimp. She didn't find them in the freezer. She tried to think of what sort of illnesses could come from goldfish. She wasn't sure. Best not to talk about it, though. You may only encourage something to go amiss. Restlessness this time of year. So we settle ourselves down as the sun goes down this time of day. We settle ourselves down, we middle children, we the restless, by thinking of these old songs, this old Norwegian song, Stille hjerte, sol gå ned. Be still, my heart, the sun goes down. Over the path, over the plain, heaven, over the heaven, duo gå hjem, the animals go home from their place they've been resting all day. Be still, my heart. Taushed, taushed over hedesti, the peacefulness over the path across the plain. And the bumblebees are bumbling, and the stork is standing in his nest. Aften, evening.
Stille hjerte, sol går ned, sol går ned. Dyr går hjem fra dagens bed, storken står i redden. Stille, stille hjerte, sol går ned. Tavskjed over hedesti, ooh.
is from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong.
All the men are good looking. All the children are about there.